I told Bruce tonight, I should have given this sermon first, and then Bruce's sermon this morning should have been given second. Because we're going to talk about the battle that we have in our lives. Bruce talked this morning about the solutions to the battles. So anyway, we just did it in reverse. Bruce mentioned a couple weeks ago that after David and Carson and Casey had been here, that he felt like he'd been a couple months since he'd been in the pulpit. And I told him, I said, you know what? I've been 3 months trying to give this sermon. I got bumped in July by Brandon. And then Carson and Casey were here in August. And we'd also had planned a trip to Pahrump that Sunday. So here we are, 3 months later. I don't know if it got better with age as wine does or not, but it does have a little age on it. So anyway, we're going to talk tonight about the battle is real. And there's five different things that I want to talk about if I have the time to do it. If not, we'll shut down and finish it up next time. But as we talk about these things, I want to talk about the battle of the flesh, battle of the mind, battle against temptation, battle against discouragement, and the battle against staying faithful. And I think it's something that if we really were honest with ourselves, most of us sitting in here have had issues with some of those, maybe all of them, maybe none of them, I don't know. But I know in my life that I've had some issues with some of those things, and it's good to talk about them sometimes. And we try to do things on our own a lot of times, and we need God's help. And the battles that we fight within our own selves are real. And I want to start this evening with the battle of the flesh. And we'll start in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 23. Galatians 5, 19 through 23. Paul's writing to the churches of Galatia here. And he says to them, he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. And then he lists them out. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. So Paul said, just in case I missed something, that's included there. But this is a list. I think it brings a lot of things to mind in my own life. Strife and jealousies, anger, dissensions. I don't like to think about divisions, but there's enviness. Things go on. And we fight those things daily. And then he says to them, he says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I warn you, if you're doing these things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on and he lists the things that we need to be doing. But he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, and I think above all, it's self-control. We have to have self-control in our lives. If we have self-control in our lives, then the first part where he listed the problems that we have will tend to not be there because they're going to be overridden with the things that he just listed as being good. And then he ends that passage with saying, and against these things, there is no law. God's got no problem with us having the spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness. No problem with that. But he does have a problem with rivalries and fits of anger and divisions and enviness and drunkenness and those kind of things. It's a battle of the flesh. Every day we walk out of our homes, we walk out into the world. And every day we battle these things. The battle of the flesh is unending. The second one I want to look at is battle of the mind. I'm going to go to an old story here, one that everybody knows about. And it's in Genesis 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Genesis 3, chapter 1 through 7. And it starts out this way. It says, "Now the serpent was much more cunning than any beast of the field which God had made." He knew what he was doing. "And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Question he had. "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Now that's a pretty strong warning. "Well, then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God. You'll know good and you'll know evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then their eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." Go back to the very, very first part of that verse. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. Satan. How easy was it for Satan to mess with Eve's mind? "Oh, surely nothing will happen. Come on." Messes with your mind. Satan will get in there and twist things around and make it seem good. How many times have you heard someone say, "Oh, just one time, it won't matter"? Yeah, it does. It'll matter to you, it'll matter to things that may happen down the road, and it matters to God. But Satan, the most cunning animal out there, the serpent, the most cunning animal out there, just do it one time, it won't matter. Yes, it does. The third one is the battle against temptation. Go to Matthew 26, 41 for the first verse of this. It reads, "Watch and pray." That's a command. Watch and pray. Why? "Lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but what? The flesh is weak." We just talked about battle against the flesh. It is a weakness. We're humans. God's made us so we can make choices. Sometimes those choices aren't near what we should be making. And most times those choices have consequences. We have to be careful of that. Watch and pray. Watch what? Watch God. Watch God's word. Watch other Christians. Watch what you do. And if you watch and pray, where's your mind? It's on God. It's not on something else. You won't enter into the temptation near as often. It won't get to you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind." Now, don't let that be an excuse to let you do whatever you want to do. "Well, my neighbor's doing it, and he's doing it, and it's okay." No, it's not. That's not what Paul means. It's a temptation that has not overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And then he says, God is faithful. All right? He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. We think sometimes that's not true, but it's scripture. And then he says, and this is the best part of this verse, "But when you are tempted, what's going to happen? He will provide a way out so you can endure it." But our mind has to be with God. If we're going to battle this temptation, our mind has to be with God. We have to watch and we have to pray. And then Paul says in Philippians 4:13, we're all familiar with this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who's going to give you strength if Christ doesn't give it to you? You can't do it on your own. You can build your muscles up. You can build your body up. You can build up bodily strength on your own. But you can't build up the strength that it takes to get through this life and get to a point where you're going to have salvation and a home in heaven without God. So we learn here against this battle against temptation, we see that flesh is weak. We're aware of that. God will not put more on you than you can handle. And whatever you've got going on, if you look to Him and watch and pray, He will provide a way out. That's the key to this whole thing. God will provide the way for you to get out of any situation that you've ever gotten yourself into. And again, I don't want to be all inclusive, but there's many of us in the Christian world, not necessarily here, but have been in those situations. We've been in places where we didn't think there was any way out. And you turn to God and you start watching and you start praying, and pretty soon there's a way out and things look good on the other side. We have a battle against discouragement. How many times do you just want to throw your hands up in there and say, I'm done. I ain't doing this no more. Whatever it is. Whether it's God's work, whether it's a workout in the public, whether it's family life, whatever it is. Somewhere we've probably all been to that point. I'm just not dealing with this anymore. I'm done. Isaiah 41:10 reads, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Fear not. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. The strength of God. Galatians 6:9, Paul says to the church in Galatians, he said, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. You can't throw your hands up in the air and say, I'm done. Well, I guess you can, but it's not the right thing to do. And in Psalms 34:18, he says, the psalmist says, the Lord is near to who? Those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. We don't think so sometimes. Life can deal us a bad hand once in a while. And we just want to be done with it. We want to be done with God. We want to be done with family. We want to be done with jobs. Whatever it might be. Watch and pray. God's always with you. He'll strengthen you. He's near to you. And because of these things, let us not grow weary. And moreover, let us change that word, let us not worry. Okay? The battle against being faithful. Go back to Philippians 3, verses 12 through 16. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. This is Paul talking. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. What's in the past you can't do anything about. We can plan for the future. It's not guaranteed. But we can take care of today. I press, again, this is Paul. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on towards that. I want heaven. I want God's grace to let me in. I want to do what God tells me to do. I want to be obedient. And for you to be all that, you have to be faithful. And we battle that faithfulness. It's just like the last one we talked about. Sometimes we just want to throw our hands up in the air and say, no way, I'm just not there. And faith is something that grows. As we grow in God, as we grow in God's word, our faith will grow. And the more that faith grows, the less we're going to battle. He goes on to say in verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, that mature is quite a word. That's a maturity in God's word. That's knowing what's right and what's wrong. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. That rule is God's rule. That mind is God's mind. Let us all be there. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Again, it's Paul. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that's us, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then he goes on in verse 2, and he says, and do not be conformed to this world. How can you be conformed to the world and have the faith that you need in God? Because if you're conformed to the world, you got all your faith in Satan. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get your mind away from the worldly things. Put them back into the spiritual things. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this is 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Because I think this kind of sums up the whole story about our battles. And that is, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He's talking to baptized Christians here, people that are doing God's will. The battle of faith can be brutal. We need to press on. We need to forget that which is behind us. Can't do anything about it. We've all probably had something in the closet, maybe still do. But we have to move on from that. You have to walk by the same rules. Be of the same mind. And above all, fight the good fight. The battle of the flesh, the battle of the mind, the battle against temptation, the battle against discouragement, and the battle against staying faithful. Guarantee you, the battle is real. Whichever one you want to look at, maybe all of them. We fight them daily. The lesson is yours. We issue the invitation tonight. If you've not been baptized, now is the time to put Christ on as your Lord and go down into the water and come out a new person. If you're struggling with things in your life, sometimes you just get to the point you want to throw your hands up in the earth because things aren't working. Maybe you need more prayer. Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. Maybe you need help from other Christians. Bruce gave a sermon, I believe it was last week, on you can't stand by yourself. Michael did too. You just can't be by yourself. We have to do it as a group. We have to do it here as a congregation of God's people. If you need help in your life, if you need prayers, don't throw your hands up in the air and say, I'm not going to ask. Make it known as we stand and as we sing.